Welcome to the Side of the Desk podcast, hosted by Fidelity Jobs and the Fidelity Women's Leadership Group. We're here to have deep discussions on the authentic experience of being a working professional in today's ever-changing workforce. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Side of the Desk. This is Lucy, one of your regular hosts, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Farah.
Hi, everyone.
Today, we'll be talking about feedback at work, a relevant topic to everyone in the workforce. We're excited to welcome Andrea Hoff, our Head of Talent Management here at Fidelity, to talk with us about this important topic. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you for having me.
So we all know feedback. Feedback can be one of those things where when you hear the word, you get a pit at the bottom of your stomach where you feel like, oh my gosh, it's nauseating.
Totally.
Like then at Fidelity, we're also talking a lot about feedback. So Andrea, I know that you support talent and performance management over at Fidelity. Before we get into our conversation about feedback, do you mind just telling us a little bit about your role and what you do at Fidelity?
Sure. And thank you again for having me. So as head of talent and performance management, people often say, what is that? So people are pretty clear about talent acquisition is bringing people into an organization.
Right.
Talent management and development is simply about understanding the people that currently work in an organization, their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, their development needs, and really allowing them a differentiated plan and path and journey in an organization to help them become the best versions of themselves so they can deliver the best for our customers. So it's really, what do we do with our associates and how do we engage them and embrace them and lead them while they're working for an organization?
Totally. And I mean, knowing too that having a really satisfied workforce and kind of employees obviously makes people want to stay at the company and have, you know, ultimately more people come into the firm as well, right?
Absolutely. So, and there is a direct correlation between my job satisfaction, my engagement, my differentiated and engagement and impact to the number of conversations and the quality of conversations I have with my leaders and others in an organization. So that it goes hand in hand.
Totally.
That's great. And it sounds like with a lot of the work going into feedback, as we have a lot of leaders across multiple levels of the organization, that we're starting to break down some of these barriers.
Yeah, we're recognizing that traditional organizations are really built for stability and their performance management practices are around siloed and very time-bound specific practices.
Mm-hmm.
Innovative and progressive organizations are built for agility and stability, and they have more inclusive, iterative processes. And so everyone-to-everyone feedback is one of those new practices that we are presenting and encouraging to happen at Fidelity to be more innovative and have agility along with stability.
And will that be more of, when you say everyone to everyone, so that will be more peer-to-peer, or is it kind of within the system as well that they'll be providing kind of write-ups and things like that on an ongoing basis?
So I'll speak to everyone first,
okay,
because I think it's a really important piece. We're working in more agile environments and teams. And so the days of working in a specific team with just your leader are really going to the wayside. And so we are encouraging, as we are working across organizations, to solicit feedback from each other. That could come in the form of, hey, I was in a presentation with you last week, Lucy, and I was really hoping to get some feedback on how I did, specifically on my pace has been a little fast lately, and I'm hoping to slow that down. Did you experience it that way? Or could you give me some feedback on, you know, how you received my presentation? It could be as simple as that. Or we do have a system that we're launching at the end of June, and it has a feedback element and component to it. Interestingly enough, it will be a pride of authorship is what we're calling it, so not anonymous. And
great.
So your name will always be attached to the feedback that you're giving. And we think that's really important to create an environment of trust and transparency
totally
in the organization.
So that can be something that it's really exciting, but also really terrifying when you're giving someone feedback for the first time. So if you're someone, let's say you're giving feedback to a peer, it can always be really daunting, at least for me, I
totally
know. Is there a way that you as the giver of feedback can give that feedback when it might not be solicited?
Yeah, I mean, feedback on its face doesn't seem that complicated, right? Until the time you have to be the deliverer or the receiver, quite frankly, right? I mean, it's a pretty stressful situation for both parties. And so as a result of that shared anxiety, we often avoid providing feedback to each other. And that's really sad because oftentimes it could be really helpful to the other person, but because we're anxious about, well, whether you would receive the feedback or how, you know, how you will take it, I often just avoid the situation. And so at Fidelity, we are implementing a new philosophy, one we're kind of flipping it on its head, and we are encouraging people to ask for feedback,
right,
again, from a broad array of people, but also in a very specific way. All of a sudden, if I ask for feedback, you're no longer stressed that I've asked you for it. She's like, well, she asked me. She obviously is interested in it. I'm expecting it. So I'm not anxious when you come to give it to me. And it's a much more fluid and comfortable conversation, such that it's a positive interaction. So it's a really interesting kind of social exercise for us. But we have noticed that once you invite the feedback, the stress level on all parties reduces and makes it much more effective.
I love that. I mean, I think too, you always do think of feedback in a much more traditional sense where you're going in on with a one-on-one with your manager and kind of expecting them to give you feedback on your day job and not necessarily feeling the comfort level to talk to your peer. Like Farah and I give each other feedback, I think, pretty consistently, just even doing this podcast. And so, but that's because this forum kind of invites that and it's very collaborative and we know that.
I would say, I think this is an interesting topic, but one that doesn't necessarily need to be preserved in the workplace. So when I first started to do research on this, I thought this concept of asking was so interesting. I'm like, I wonder if it really works. And so I decided to test drive it on my son, who has often been the recipient of my social experiments in my career, much to his dismay. And so he's just turned 27. And so I called him and I said, hey, can I ask for some feedback? And that was a little, he's like, you know, it's kind of like when your child calls you,
that's
you know
an
they're
going
to ask for money, right?
Right.
So he said, sure. And I said, you know, how am I doing transitioning from being a parent of a dependent child to a parent of an adult child? And that was a very specific question. I didn't say, hey, how we doing? We doing okay, right? It was a very specific question. And he said, I'm really glad you asked. You know, sometimes when I don't respond to your texts within, you know, your allotted time frame and you kind of wear me out a little bit, like back off a little bit. And I mean, we had this really rich conversation and I appreciated so much recognizing that I didn't need to preserve it just for work, that you could take this as a life skill and leverage it, you know, in your personal relationships. And so I've started to do that. Be careful because
right,
you're gonna get
the
feedback,
open the floodgates,
right?
For that.
But I do appreciate how the specificity of the question is the magic,
okay,
right?
Yeah. Something, though, that I wonder, and we talked about this in kind of preparing, you know, to talk with you, is around what if your manager really isn't soliciting feedback for themselves? How would one approach that?
Well, so I do think asking for feedback, again, that reciprocity often is a bit of a secret sauce. It invites that. Mm-hmm. If the person is courageous, you know, you could say if there's ever any interest on your part in hearing kind of from an associate's perspective how you're doing as a leader, I'd be more than happy to engage in that conversation, right? And just offer it up. Not, can I give you some feedback?
Right.
That's probably not how I would approach that. But just to offer yourself as a giver of feedback to the leader if they were ever interested. I would probably start a little softer with that.
And Andrea, can I ask a follow-up question?
Of course.
So I think every leader I've had here has a really different approach to either taking feedback or their management style. And I've had managers who I've given feedback to who have responded defensively, right? Where you say, hey, here's a specific example where I think you could be better when they solicit feedback, but they might justify why they acted that way.
Yeah. Well, and there is definitely an art to receiving feedback. Getting someone into the mind space to be open to the feedback and hear you is really important. Mm-hmm. If you provide feedback to someone who is not in a space to receive it, it is likely to not be received well. And that is why that notion of asking for and getting the person in a place to be open to it is critically important. If the person is defensive, I think I would probably back away from that opportunity and then try to come at it at a slightly different way. Oftentimes, if we're reacting to the feedback, it's because we do see ourselves in it, right?
Right.
If I don't see myself in anything you're saying, I'm probably not going to react as strongly as if I already know that about myself and it's an edge or something I'm working on and you've just validated that it is in fact an edge for me. And so oftentimes when that happens, you've hit a nerve or something sensitive. Back away from that a little bit. They'll process. They'll have heard you, but it is a reflection of something they've seen in themselves.
I mean, I do think, you know, feedback in general requires a level of self-awareness. I've seen even myself kind of grow over my career at Fidelity and, you know, I basically just absorbed a lot of feedback as much as I could and am still doing that. When do you know to like take it or leave it? kind of thing.
Recently, we had Marcus Buckingham and Ashley Goodall in. They've just recently released a book called The 9 Lies of Work. And one of the lies is that people want feedback. Oh. And so Ashley and I were chatting about this, and we were talking about how we wish we could rename the word feedback. That the word in and of itself is just elicits some resistance. Right. And he said, reaction. Because in fact, that's all it really is my reaction mm-hmm. to you. If it's something that I say to you and you're like, wow, that's really interesting, you do reflection. And then you decide how you're going to iterate on that or not. But those are choices that you give yourself. But I do think this notion of recovery is interesting in feedback. And I liken it to if you had a really strenuous workout, and you know that day or 2 days after, for me, your muscles are super sore, right? You need that recovery time before you go back at it. You need that same in feedback. Like sometimes it stings. So I do think this notion of recovery is a really important element. So it's reflection on the feedback. It's, you know, how do I want to take that? Do I want to incorporate that into a different routine? Do I want to leave it, you know, and not address it at all? So I do think this notion of reflection and recovery is a really important element to receiving feedback. And then how do you process it and what do you do with it?
I mean, also what I love about this too, and kind of expanding this feedback model, and we're instilling more compassion, if you will, into the workplace. And it's not so cut and dry, cookie cutter. This, we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, like this is your day job, you kind of keep things at work, and then you know, your personal life is separate. And I feel like this allows one to kind of bring more of themselves to the office and be more communicative with their peers and talk about things. And as you said, give feedback outside of the office as well. And I certainly can try that with my friends. I don't know how they'll receive it, but.
You should try. I mean, I think you'll find it really creates richer conversations with people, again, with specificity.
Right.
But I do think that it's a life skill that we can absolutely take with us outside of work. But I do think it on the inside of work, it creates deeper relationships, right? We need to bring the human back into the workplace. And I think this allows us a good framework to do that with.
Definitely. What are tools specifically that managers could take to deliver feedback in a way that, particularly if they've got larger teams or, you know, they might not know everyone like as much on a personal level, how do they make sure too that the feedback they're giving is still substantive and, you know, means something to the associate?
Yeah, so I think having a tool to mm-hmm. be able to work in helps create a bit of a routine. So even if at the end of the day, right, I'm like, oh, I didn't get a chance to provide Farah that feedback. We were in a meeting today. I'd love to, you know, or maybe solicit feedback on Farah, right? Mm-hmm. So the tool allows, you can just give feedback directly, or you can solicit feedback on an associate. And I think what I like about this is it's real time, and it provides very recent examples.
I find that even on self-assessments, you know, when you have to look back at the end of the year and provide specific examples, you're like, oh my gosh, what do I have to kind of remember some of the things? So that's awesome. I love the idea that it's ongoing. And so is your vision that this will be something that people are in like almost every day, kind of back and forth?
Yeah, how do you, visualize that? Yes, and I hope it happens face to face. Right. I think the tool is a really important supporting member of this process. But I do hope that we don't lose and hide behind maybe the face to face. Right.
Totally.
I will tell you that for me has been the piece that's been the biggest barrier to change for me is the proactivity and the thoughtfulness of it. It takes a lot of intention to define what is it I'm working on. These are the three things that I'm really trying to improve on. And then look out into my calendar and say, who am I intersecting with this week that could provide me feedback that could help me on these three things? Mm-hmm. That's a muscle we've not used before, right? You know, our planning process hasn't incorporated soliciting feedback. And so for me, that's the piece that I've really had to the night before my next days of meeting. I'm like, okay, who am I interacting with and how can I reach out proactively and get feedback? That's the piece that's been the most difficult for me and I think others to try to incorporate. So
as we think this is an exercise and something that we're building towards, how long as we're starting to build these muscles should we be investing in when we first start? And as we go along, like how much time do you think we'll end up spending like 6 months down the line?
Yeah, I don't know that I've thought about it in terms of of time. And I liken this to managing our employees on an annual review cycle is like managing a significant relationship on your anniversary. You know, I don't hold feedback from my husband 364 days out of the year, and then on our anniversary just go, happy anniversary, and whip out 65 yes, things right. that he could have been doing differently throughout the past year. We actually provide feedback 364 days out of the year, and we preserve our anniversary to celebrate. And I think of feedback much like that. If it can create much more efficiency in each other, in our relationships and our work efforts and product, if we're getting that real time as opposed to holding it, right? Imagine the improvements we can make on a regular basis as opposed to on a static one. And so we are not only moving from everyone to everyone feedback, but we're moving to quarterly conversations. So we'll be moving away from an annual review and going to 4 conversations a year. What that allows is that much more fluid conversation, right? I only have to remember 90 days worth of feedback as opposed to 12 months. If we're going to be in an agile work environment, we need to be agile with our feedback and our information to each other to be able to pivot quickly. So it's an investment of time.
Do you think that there's a perfect amount or a good ratio of positive feedback that you're giving your peers compared to the amount of things that a peer should work on?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Farah. So, you know, I've heard so many things over the years. You've heard of sandwiching, right? So give something, say something positive, yes, and then give exactly. it to them. And then, you know, tell them their shoes look nice. So now the research is challenging the whole sandwiching concept. But I have heard 7-to-1, that you should give 7 positive to 1 constructive. That feels pretty heavy to me. But I do think your point is well made, that we do need a balance. When you hear the word feedback, isn't it funny that we all automatically go to it's all constructive and it's something bad I've done? And so I think it's important that we, thank you, Farah, for reminding me that it is a balance and it should absolutely be anchored with a lot of positive. And then, you know, so that way when you do get that one piece of constructive, it doesn't hurt so bad.
Yeah, for sure. I've provided feedback to folks who are more senior than me through mentorship opportunities, not necessarily kind of my direct manager, or I've never necessarily felt like I had the opportunity to do that or would feel comfortable just sending a note to my manager and saying, you did an amazing job. Actually, I've done that. Usually it's really positive.
Right.
I don't feel the same comfort level saying, you did an amazing job. You could have slowed down a little bit or something like that, unless I have more of that personal relationship with them.
Well, and I also think it's how, right? So I'll just take what you just said. You know, you did an amazing job. I was watching the faces in the audience and they were hanging on every word. However, I saw the faster you spoke, it felt like you were losing them. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, pacing with the audience would be, you know, a slightly more effective, like you can say exactly what you said without making it feel like a punch, right?
Right.
And so I think it's now, does it get lost? You can't make it too sweet because mm-hmm. then you lose the message. But I do think sometimes, you know, it's the how we do this mm-hmm. as opposed to the what.
And how much feedback is too much feedback? I mean, as we talk about quarterly reviews and kind of giving feedback on a continuous basis, I mean, is there a time where it's like, okay, that's enough?
Yeah, feedback exhaustion,
yes.
right? I'm not taking any more feedback today. you know, I do think we need to pace ourselves. I do think, you know, yeah. we might come out of the gate on this one mm-hmm. and everyone providing feedback, hopefully it's balanced. And then I do think we'll find a norm. I think we need to be thoughtful about it and recognize that, you know, we can't be wearing people out about it.
And it seems too like feedback is solicited when people are in certain situations or certain roles, like if you're presenting at an event or something, or if you are more senior and you're more comfortable and want feedback from people. But then you've got folks who might not be in those type of roles and that's not their career path. They don't necessarily want to be presenting at big events or, and not that that's the only level of feedback.
Sure.
you could ever give, but how do you manage kind of, you know, folks that might be more introverted or have a little bit different personality types and balancing that? And maybe we kind of already got after that, but that's something we talked about a lot about because being shy is, you know, is tough. And
I think the other thing too, to your point, Lucy, is if we're both young, we've oftentimes been the youngest people in the room. So, and oftentimes when you have managers who might be of a different generation, they may not necessarily give you the same feedback or they may treat feedback a little bit differently, just adding to your
totally
question.
Yeah, I do think personality plays into this, right? So I'm introverted, right? People are like, oh, we would never know that. I'm like, well, because I play an ambivert, right? So at work, I play an extrovert, but my preferred place is to be an introvert. Not that that's what all introverts need to do, but depending on the role, sometimes it's required in what you do day to day. But regardless of your personality type or style, I hope we all know and have a vision and a growth mindset of things we're trying to work on. That doesn't mean every introvert needs to be an esteemed public speaker, but I do hope that we have goals and aspirations in life. And what are those? And what are you trying to work toward? Right. And then what skills do you need and are you working on developing to help you accomplish those? You can ask for feedback on all of those, right? And so I think the first step is, what are you working on? Like, what are you trying to develop in yourself? Or as humans, we were built to grow. And so I think it's, you know, waking up and knowing what we're trying to do and accomplish on a daily basis, and then just soliciting feedback from the universe. How am I doing, right? Am I doing better at this? Or what could, you know, give me some feedback. And I think it doesn't matter if you're an introvert, an extrovert, or an ambivert. We all should know what those targets are and what are we growing toward, and then soliciting feedback from those around us on how we're doing.
And something you said earlier too that I really loved is around just intention. There needs to be a level of self-awareness and also just an intention behind wanting to build yourself up, wanting to kind of find your strengths. I know being more self-aware is something that is going to help you regardless, you know, of kind of where you are in your career, where you are in your life. And if we all just kind of come into the office, try to do the best we can, but have no awareness or intent behind how we're going to build ourselves further, then that's not going to be a super great environment for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think one of the things that Fidelity has done as a firm has been really good at coaching associates to their strengths. I've heard from traditional psychology that if you're coaching someone to their strengths, they'll do better than if you're coaching to their weaknesses. Like, is there something?
Well, sure. And, you know, as a society, I hate to keep bringing my poor son into the conversation, but I mean, as a parent, think about it. You know, we were all students. If you brought home a report card and you had 4 A's, a B, and a D, mm-hmm. what'd you hear about?
The D.
The D. Right. And then we all go right to the, oh, and then we get a tutor for the thing that we have a D, and who cares? I don't like math, right? I don't want to be good at math. Look at all these amazing things I got A's in. And so I think that's the notion is, you know, we don't have to be great at everything. We just have to be really good at some things. And I want to be good at the things that I enjoy. And I think that's the notion of this. Let's focus on the positive things. Let's not try to fix everything that's wrong with everybody, but let's appreciate and try to evolve and iterate on the things that I'm good at and that I enjoy. And somebody else can pick up the math. It's okay.
That's awesome. And, you know, I think one of the things that's also really interesting that Fidelity does is we have learning days where there are days dedicated to focusing on things that you could be better at, or maybe things that you're passionate about but you don't necessarily know about. Like, is there anything as we think about moving into this culture of feedback where as you're thinking about development and growing and trying to find things that you want to learn to keep developing that growth mindset, that you would advise associates or any of our listeners to go ahead and do?
Yeah, I do think it's understanding where you're going, right? Mm-hmm. I keep aligning this analogy to no one goes to their Waze app and say, take me somewhere. Like, that just doesn't happen, right? Mm-hmm. You have to tell it where to take you. And then it gives you very explicit feedback on how to get there. Feedback is exactly the same. What's helpful is specificity. What's helpful is examples, real-time examples against what you're trying to accomplish. That is how people get feedback, is you give it specifics and you get specifics. That is exactly what we're encouraging our associates and our humans to do, right? Is get specific, be clear, have a vision. I read a quote the other day, stop waking up like it's an accident. Have a plan, right? What's your plan? And work toward the plan and communicate the plan. We've always heard that goals are best when shared, right? Because then it creates accountability. Share what your vision is. What are you growing toward? And then let others around you help navigate and get you there. You don't have to operate in this universe alone, right? There are lots of humans around to help you do that.
I love that. And I wonder too, I know that the landscape of our world has changed over the past 10 years with the advent of social media, where people are way more likely to announce that they're doing something. So they might update their Facebook status or their Instagram, and they might say, hey, I'm going to go run a marathon.
Better run a marathon. You just announced to the world you're running a marathon, right?
Exactly. Like, do you think that there's, now that we're in this age of social media and people oversharing online, that people are being held more accountable in their personal lives for feedback? Or,
well, I think, you know, anytime you share a goal, it creates shared accountability with others around you, right? I do think having a core group of people with you to help keep you accountable, to provide encouragement, to give feedback, is always a brilliant strategy to help accomplish anything. And so I think being intentional, setting a goal, inviting others to be on this journey with you, providing feedback, letting feedback be a gift. And I know that's trite, and I know we've heard it for a very long time, but I absolutely believe that the feedback is helping provide guidance. And so I think getting those reactions and inputs kind of helps steer you more towards success more rapidly than if you were on this journey alone.
That's a great place to close. Feedback is a gift. Thank you so much to everyone for listening to this Side of the Desk episode. And thank you to our recording studio and editors who make our episodes possible. As well, a big, huge thank you to Andrea for joining us today. For more information about working at Fidelity, please check out fidelitycareers.com.